Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
Hello and welcome to the Middlesex County Cricket League podcast. My name's Dan Huff from Twickenham. This is the first episode of 2024. We've just come off the back of some pretty freezing weather. It's a bit milder now. The cricket season still feels like it's a fair old time away, but there is, as you might expect, plenty for us to talk about. So as ever, I'm here with Salman Ali from North London. Sal, how are you? You good?
Yeah, Dan, happy new year to you. Hope you're all well. I know you've had a bit of a bug going around. Not feeling too awesome, but good to see you on the mend with your shrewd scarf.
Yeah, a bit underwear. I've got 4 layers on in my own living room here. And part of that is just because I'm cruising along at about 50% rather than 100. Quick check-in. Are Arsenal still not winning the league? Or where they're not winning the FA Cup?
I mean, the first half wasn't great, but we obviously got the game won in the second half. Two against Liverpool 2 weeks' time. Probably the fourth. That's a big one. See how that one goes. But we're in there still. Everyone knows they need another striker, don't they? It's the biggest big question. Do we sign one in the window? I don't think it will by the sounds of it. We'll have to work what we've got. There are players coming back into the side pretty soon who may sort of bolster things and make us a bit stronger again. But, you know.
Every club in English football needs a striker, don't they?
Yeah. You know, apart from Man City and Liverpool.
Well, even they would probably take one if the one were available, wouldn't they? But yeah, I mean, obviously that Haaland's all right. I'll give him his due. But I presume you're up to speak with the big news in English football. We're recording on Monday the 22nd of Jan, and there is a vacancy at the New Meadow for a new coach. And I'm in.
Oh, Cotchell's gone.
Well, no, Cotchell went in the summer.
I'm sorry.
He overspent his budget. He likes spending money, and we don't have any of that. So he went. And Matt Taylor used to be at Pompey, was our coach. And he started off okay, but we've scored 16 goals in 28 games, Sal. There was a point at the beginning of December where we scored 20% of our league goals in injury time against Reading. Amazingly, we're not in the relegation zone, but yeah, he's got his P45. So yeah, if you're looking for a new job, if the teaching's not for you,
you could do the job, Dan, mate. You're a man for all seasons.
It would feed my obsessions. That's right, but I suspect I'm not going to get it. So I'll stick to podcasting, I reckon.
Yeah.
That's the way to go. Cool. Now, a couple of things that we were going to flag up. First of all, just before Christmas, we had the Middlesex County Cricket League AGM. Now, every serious organisation out there, whether it's North London Cricket Club, Twickenham Cricket Club, organisations that are, you know, over and beyond sport, has an AGM. Now, they're not normally rock and roll, and I don't like AGMs that are rock and roll. We once had one at Twickenham where there was a vote for the 15 captaincy, and it ended up being a tie. And a secretary, this was like, I had a coronary, what to do about a tie for a 15 skipper. So we had to have a rerun of that. I don't like that. Don't want that. And the Middlesex AGM was nowhere near as high octane as that. But stuff did happen. And I think it's probably worth us just touching on a couple of things that have changed that might be of use to folks getting ready for the season when it begins in May. Where do you want to start, Sal?
Well, I like this one here. Actually, just checking, obviously, from my umpire's hat on here. There's been a change in limited overs matches. Any games umpired by panel umpires during the overs format, so limited overs games, rather than teams, if you overrate slow and not up to task, rather than you being penalized penalty runs, you now have one less fielder in the fielding circle.
Yeah, I saw that.
So the additional fielder to be placed in the fielding circle, so you lose one of your outfielders, basically. And this, which is, I think, that's happening in the one.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, it makes it a little bit more tricky for umpires. Need to be on the ball a little bit more in the last few overs. I mean, you'll be either way, I suppose, checking if they're in or out anyway. So it makes no difference, personally, I think. But yeah, so I like that one. I like that change.
Yeah. No dose in there, so you've got to keep on it.
Totally, 100%.
But that is something that will, I guarantee you, that will catch someone out, because it's the type of thing that people will forget, won't know, won't have been told, all the rest of it. And
the questions you get asked as an umpire when you're umpiring from players in first round cricket, you think have been playing the game for a long time, you'd be amazed. The randomness and absurdity of them is amazing.
I'm going to give you a chance in a future pod to reveal some of these without revealing any names.
I'll write them down next time. I'll make a note of the ones I get asked during the season. Yeah.
I was once umpiring for the twos at Twickenham a long time ago, 15 years ago, and somebody asked me whether we were playing leg before wicket. And it wasn't being facetious. It wasn't as if I just turned one down. It was like, well, yeah, I think we probably are. Yeah. Given it's in the laws of the game, I think we probably should. Yeah. So I won't mention it. It wasn't against North London. I should hasten to add.
I think we're all in our in the rules.
Yeah, kind of other things caught my mind, caught my eye. First of all, there was quite an interesting debate about players playing in the league who are professional cricketers, but who don't play for Middlesex. So Middlesex contracted players, of course, can play in the league, and there are regulations about where they can play, but that's pretty uncontroversial. People know about that. But there was a debate last year about whether we should allow players who are contracted to other clubs, other county clubs, to come and play in Middlesex. Now, I guess the argument is they're going to be pretty good players, they're professional cricketers, and they would improve the league. But clearly, not everybody bought into that, and there was a debate about it at the AGM. What was your instinct on this one, Sal?
It's a tricky one, all right? The rules are set. I mean, I know there was a vote on it, Dan. I think you came up second best in that from obviously explaining
that's
it
right
to everyone else.
But I think you could go either way, couldn't you? I think there is a plausible case.
Yeah.
You know, we should get as many good players in the league as we possibly can, and as long as they're registered properly, as long as there's no registration issues at all, it's before whatever it is, the 31st of July, and it's all been done in the right category, then just get good players in. Versus, I mean, clubs might try and get lots of good players in from lots of different places, and that could skew the league. And which way would you tip? I mean, you obviously you know what happened at the AGM, but what would be your instinct on it?
I'll probably stick with the current. I know you made a good point off air about, for instance, if, you know, Joe removed into the air and said the fact of game of cricket, you know, maybe he would say no to him playing for your club. And obviously, if the challenge maybe bowling to him as well, may get smacked everywhere. However,
I can tell you now, if Joe turned up at Twickenham Green, there'd be a queue of people wanting to open the bowling. Yeah. I mean, he'd probably be 250, but there'd be a queue of people who want that scalp. And I'll be honest, Sal, I'll put my cards on the table. I was a bit surprised that other folks saw it as differently as they did. And I sort of put my hand up at the meeting and said, what exactly is the problem with attracting good players? You know, got to be properly registered, all the rest of it. No, not payment, obviously. And there was a vote, Sal. Or how many people would vote against the committee's proposal to prevent this? And I was a bit lonely, mate.
I heard.
It was one, Twitch at me, versus, well, I think there were 75 clubs there or something, or 75 clubs in the league. So yeah. I didn't get through on that one. But
you tried, Dan?
I tried. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, not a ditch that I'd die in, but I did. No. I do like the idea of good players coming and playing. You know, I think that
but is... I mean, say, for instance, you know, Root turns up, hypothetically speaking, obviously, I'll just use them as an example, the last game of the season, say, for instance, and actually probably can't register at the time.
He has to be registered for 31st of July, but imagine he had been. It's possible.
He had been. He played the last game too, then it's a game which is either title decider or quite a crucial game. Yeah, how does that sort of fare? It wouldn't be, I don't think that would sit well with certain people.
You know what? Lots of things don't sit well with
real
people.
Randomness, obviously.
Yeah, lots of people get annoyed about loads of stuff. If he's properly registered and he turns up, then suck it up, guys. Get him out. But I appreciate that may just be me. And of course, I don't play at that level.
Breaking back left-hand or something, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's an idea. He probably still scored 200.
Yeah, sure.
Just a reverse hits or whatever it would be all the time. But anyway, regardless of what I think, that's just a personal view, and Twickenham voted one way, but it ain't happening. So the only professional cricketers who can play in the league are going to be contracted players to Middlesex. And that wasn't quite true last year. It is true No. Anything else, Sam?
Just looking at the list here. I mean, that's the one I mentioned about the obviously the changes in the Uber situation, third limbs over those games. I mean, it seems like everything is sort of pretty straightforward here, really, Dan.
Yep. I mean, it was two other things that I reckon are worth mentioning, that they're not going to change too many people's worlds. But if a team calls off, so cries off, and gives the 10 points to the opposition, as they will if they cry off, and all of the games in that division are subsequently rained off, then they will no longer, the team that got the 10 points because the other side couldn't get 11 players, they won't get 10 points anymore. They'll just
get... happened last year, I think. There was a weekend where all the teams around apart from one game was played, and I think the team that won was near the top of the table as well. So, I like that.
Well, it makes a difference, getting 10 points when everybody else gets 3. To stress, though, the team that couldn't raise the team, if they cried off at the last minute, they will still be penalised, even if the game was never played. They don't get anything for not being able to field the team.
Yeah, something that mentioned, but it wasn't actually voted on, but it was about the points scoring in Premier League cricket, which was interesting, about maybe regarding the change to the method of awarding points, discussion has to be had. So that'd be interesting what kind of questions come out from that, what's the situation you're looking at, how they look to change it, what's going to be the different new sort of system they want to put in place.
Yep. I mean, I think that's a hornet's nest. I think there's always people who have different ideas about point systems, but I know the Premier League clubs have been talking about this amongst themselves, not to try and rig anything to change it, but they did want to put some coherent ideas forward, and Christian Martin from Ealing hadn't quite got to the point where they were going to do that. Their issue, just to flag it, is I think in the all-day games, and there's a feeling that you don't quite get enough for winning an all-day game of cricket compared to what you would get for winning a limited overs game. So I think that's driving it, but quite how the points would pan out, far from certain, but I think this is going to be a discussion ongoing. So it might be worth keeping an eye on emails from Nick Brown, League Secretary, or on the Middlesex County League website to see if contributions to that debate are sought. And if they are sought, people can dive in. One other thing that I very quickly, there was a discussion around non-turf pitches, so astro pitches, artificial pitches. And I think Middlesex are quite keen on this. They feel that ultimately will help more cricket be played, and I see the angle. But of course, the challenge is how best to get these pitches created. That's one thing. But also, how we should regulate playing on them. And the league has now come up with some quite clear rules. For example, any first 11 in Division 6 or below can now use a non-turf pitch, right? What they can't do is decide to use it on a Tuesday before a game. You have to say at the start of the season. Now, I don't know about you, Sal, but I think there'll probably be some dispensation if a club goes and makes a specific case saying for the rest of the season we must do this, but you ain't going to be changing pitches on a Friday night. That's not happening. But there is definitely more allowance of non-turf pitches in the league. And I guess it's a good idea, right?
It makes sense. Just due to the lack of facilities in the county, we've got so many clubs now playing cricket, so many teams actually as well, down to sort of third, fourth, fifth, 11, even sixth, seven, obviously even seven at some point. There's the lack of cities. So what you do, you've got to try and find what the next best thing available, and if in MTP non-turf pitches are the next option, then people playing cricket, it's healthy for the county. It's not ideal, obviously, but if it means you get 22 guys on the pitch playing cricket every weekend, then I think it's a great idea.
Yep. Well, I think as ever, there could well be details that are tricky, but the league is certainly saying that new clubs, they will need to look at these non-turf pitches, because there's no good a new club just basically half-inching a pitch from another club in the league who suddenly haven't got a pitch to play on, and that could happen if you go into councils, if you get there before.
Of course.
So I think the league is trying to work on that tricky one. I don't think it's easy to get it right, but the bottom line is there'll be more non-turf pitches around in future years than there have been in the past. So much for that. Now, I think we'll get to arguably the most interesting part of the pod. I mean, you shouldn't say that some parts of your own podcast are not very interesting, should you? But nonetheless, we've been asked by the league to help out in making the draws for the two Premier 50-over competitions, 50-over cup competitions, the Middlesex Trophy and the Middlesex Cup. So we think we're ready, don't we, Sal?
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. This episode is made possible by PwC. It's getting hot out here. Moving the mercury can help move your business. PwC helps turn sustainability theory into real-world action. Reduce your carbon footprint while increasing transparency in net zero commitments. Start with reporting to identify your climate risks and reinvent your business. Create a more sustainable business and a stronger planet. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at thenewequation.com.
I think so, Dan. Yeah, you've got everything prepared. We're ahead of the game, so hopefully all goes to plan.
This will be recorded, and people will be able to see my four layers and shivering soul on Instagram. You might even be watching it on Instagram now. But I've managed to get a very flashy Windsor and Maidenhead cycling proficiency.
No expense spared from our finance department. Make sure that you've got the correct equipment.
Absolutely, this cost a fortune. Well, okay, Stan and Vince, my
limited
kids
edition,
got it.
Is it?
That's limited edition. That's what it is. Yeah. And it's very, very sort of luminous yellowy. And I have got 14 numbers in here, Sal. And they are the 14 teams who are in the Middlesex Trophy. Now, correct. Ideally, you'd like a multiple of 8 here. So there are 2 byes in this stage of the competition. And whoever's drawn out first will get a bye. And whoever's the last one in will also get a bye. And that's quite important because the draw is, I always think it's like the World Snooker Championship, then you can see it. You know who you're going to be playing against.
Yeah.
And if you're the first team out, you're pretty lucky because you're going to be home all the way. If you're the last team out, you know, make sure you've got your ULEZ sorted or whatever, because you'll need to be traveling. But that's the way the cookie crumbles, right? So I'm going to draw the numbers out and I'm going to make sure that people see them here in my safer steps bag. Sal has a list of all the teams, right? Sal, tell me you do.
I do, Dan, right in front of me. Yes, I'm ready to go.
Okay. So if you've got that, then I will show the number to Sal and anybody who's odd enough to be watching on Instagram, and we'll see where that takes us. So the first number in the Middlesex Trophy is going to have a bye, and that is number 13.
Number 13, which is Winchmore Hill.
Okay. Now, 1 second. Winchmore Hill. So not only do they get a bye, but they're going to be at home all the way through from the second.
Yeah, nice ground to be at home. Yeah, not a bad place to go to play your matches. So, nice.
Having said that, all the way through is overcooking it a bit, because what it really means is the quarterfinals and the semifinals, isn't it? But whatever.
Yeah.
Better to be home than away. Right. The next one.
So they've got a bye. The next two are going to be playing each other.
Yes. Winchmore Hill are through to round 2. So the next number is number 5.
Number 5, who is Ealing Trailfinders.
Ealing Trailfinders. Okay,
they'll play cricket.
I've never played there, so if you've never played it,
it's a nice place. They've got the rugby set up, which is amazing there, but they've got lots of good facilities there.
Cool. They're going to be playing number 10.
Number 10 is Kenton, newly promoted into Division 1.
Okay, so they will have played, I'd have thought, Ealing Trailfinders.
Yeah, they'll have played each other last season, if I'm correct. Yes, they will have.
Yep, enough times. Right, next up we have number Legs 11.
Number 11, South Hempstead.
South.
Relegated last season. Bit of a disappointing season for those guys, but they'll be hoping to bounce back and get another home tie.
Yep, they are. I always think a bit, quite know what you're going to get with Southampton.
Yeah.
Classic cup side.
They haven't come like the weather we had last season.
Absolutely. They'll be playing number 4.
Number 4. You are Chiswick. Dangerous team. Didn't have enough to go up last season, but they've got a lot of good players and... Again, that won't be an easy game. They're actually both in the same division, so it's almost like in Division 2.
Chiswick will probably fancy themselves to go up as well.
Yeah, they'll go up for that.
Yeah. Right, next up. You can see I'm a professional, Sal. I've even drawn a line under this one, so I didn't
number
get it mixed
two?
Up. Number 9.
So number 9, my screen's Indian Gymkhana.
An umpire can't read. It's number 9.
I know, not very good at it. Gymkhana, who got to the final last season, so they'll be hoping to go one better this season.
Talking to Gymkhana, I did see that Parminder Singh has been playing in pastures far away and doing quite well. I'll have to get the video vintage over to you. Yeah, he's not wintering at home. He's not an idiot. Right, so...
How's his house coming along? Has he finished the house yet?
You know what? I'll have to investigate that one. No, in Palm, probably not, but it'll be a bit chilly if he hasn't. Indian gym will be at home to number three.
Number three, Brentham. Also relegated last season. So
yeah,
that'd be interesting in terms of how the season fares this year for those guys.
Does that count as local derby?
I mean, anything over the other side of the Anglian Lane, I suppose, is really. Yeah.
Could be. Right. Next team at home, number one.
Who is AP?
Ali Pally. Never a bad place to go. Good tea, sales, what
no,
they tell me.
All. Yeah.
There's a good tea, some good guys down there. Jimmy Abbott and the crew.
Excellent. And AP, home of the darts. They're going to be playing number 12.
Number 12, Wembley.
Wembley. Another side, I think, on their day.
Yeah, be pretty, best pretty season awkward. Last season, but he managed to stay in Division 2. So, yeah, that's going to be Division 3 versus Division 2.
Yep.
We now have number 8.
Number 8, who is Harrow. Very good season last year, just missed out promotion. Some very good young players there.
And some West Indian influence, if I remember rightly.
And a couple of very good West Indian players who can be very lively on a pitch.
Yeah, they've almost just make sure I've got one, not two. I have. So Harrow will be playing number 6.
Number 6, Eastcote.
Eastcote.
Again, managed to stay up. Last in Division 2, so an all Division 2 clash this summer.
Okay, now there should be. And that has been a heinous crime. Three teams left.
Should be three left. That's right, Dan. We're on the right track. There's three left.
We're sort of on the right track. So this team will be at home.
Yeah.
Number 2.
Number 2, and that's going to be Barnes.
Barnes?
Who are probably quite happy doing this competition, seeing they are Division 1 side.
Yeah.
Like Kenton.
Please to know, Sal, there are two bits of paper left in here. I'm giving them a big...
I know who the two are. Just a matter of which one comes out.
Okay, so we've got number 14.
14, who is Wickham House.
Barnes v Wickham House. Okay. And then the final team, let me just make sure.
Division 1 clash, actually, that one. That'd be a good game. All Division 1
clash. Yeah, it'd be interesting, wouldn't
it? Yeah. And the final team should be Enfield. If I'm correct.
I'll tell you what it is. It's number 7. You tell me.
And it's Enfield.
Enfield. Party time at Enfield. You guys have got a bye. Bad news. Quarter final and semi final. If you get there, we'll be away. But, you know, they are through. So I'll read those. Oh, do you want to read those out again for us, Sal?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah. Okay, So Wickham House, obviously, so Mitchell received a bye. The first fixture, we've got Eden Trail Finders playing Kempton, Southampton playing Chiswick, Inner Gymkhana versus Brentford, Alexandra Park versus Wembley, Harrow versus Eastcote, Barnes versus Wickham House, and Enfield also received a bye.
Any particular one catch your eye, Sal?
We've got your Division 1 clash, Barnes and Wickham House. From down the order. And I think you've got to keep buying Gymkhana. Last year's, as I said, finalist last year. And they'll be hoping to go one better season, I think. So they'll be a sign maybe to watch into competition.
Yep. One good thing about being drawn away in the gym, of course, always good curry. So your Sunday, always a good curry. Right, we're going to be on to the Middlesex Cup. Just so you know, so I have a number 16 that's going in this time.
Okay.
And a number 15. Okay, so I'll put them in. So this is a little bit more straightforward. No buys in this one. But the same logic, you know, holds. If you're the first team out of the draw, you got home games through to the final. If you win your games. Right, are you ready?
Go for it, Dan.
Okay. Of course, North London and Twickenham are both in there, so I'm going to make a conscious effort of not looking at the bags.
I've been asked to buy home.
And I can't remember what they are, which helps. Number 10.
And that's going to be North Middlesex.
North Mid. Mm. One of the favourites for the cup. They are.
Yeah, if they can get all their boys playing, they'll definitely a dangerous side in that format.
Absolutely. No.
Like most companies you'd say, really, I suppose.
Potential local derby, I could think of at least one.
Could well be. There's at least two potential teams, three that could be going here. Yeah.
And it's number 2.
Brunsbury. Oh, Prem Clash.
That is an interesting one, yeah.
Good game, that one.
Middlesex v Bron. Okay.
I mean, all be good games, but yeah, that's an all-prem.
Next up, we have number 1.
Acton, Sir Hill's team. Again, finalist last season. Had a great run in the competition. Fell short, defeated by Ealing, but great, you know, for those guys who are Division 1 to get to the final, and they had a great day out and they played some good cricket. Unfortunately, as I said, just didn't have enough to get over the line. But yeah.
Yeah, I've not been to their new pavilion yet, which is a bit embarrassing. We do, yeah, I've heard it's really good. So whoever we draw now is going to have a good look at that.
And very, very hospitable people. John Reeve and the crew there, brilliant, lovely people. Get well looked after there.
I feel embarrassed saying that because we drew Acton away in the cup last year and I couldn't get there. So, you know, if the same happens again.
I mean, it's a bit of amazing when you get in there. It's such a massive facility. But yeah, as I said, it's a good place to go. So I definitely recommend it, Dan.
Cool. Well, they are playing number 9.
North London.
Well, that's a Division 1 tie. I mean, you would think that's probably...
I'm sure the boys will probably be at home, but never mind. Yeah, that's all good.
That's the way it goes, isn't it? Yeah. Sorry, Gov. Next one. Number 12.
Number 12, Shepherd's Bush.
Quite a lot of Middlesex Cup action in that part of London. I'm assuming they play on the same day, which they might well not.
Let's try to.
Shebu and Acton at home. I can see why they have balls rather than pieces of paper, Sal. I'm petrified of dragging out two at once here is one thing. Right. Okay. Shebu will play number 14.
Number 14, Stanmore.
Stanmore.
Another All-Prem clash.
Not traditionally.
Champions. Stanmore.
I was going to say, not just a good cup side, but current league champions. So
yes, indeed.
We may have to tie the round on our hands there.
I think it could be.
Next up. I'm trying to remember all the names of the balls in bingo, and I'm rubbish. Can't remember any of them, except for this one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, go on.
Legs 11. I said that before, and I'll say it again. Legs 11.
Richmond, number 11, at home.
Richmond.
Good, some very good young players there, who I'm sure feel available and make things hard for anyone who comes to the field.
Younger players often more available on Sundays, aren't they, as well? So they'll probably be quietly fancying their chances. And they will play number 6.
Number 6, House at Mary's. That'd be a good game, that one.
Richmond, reliving battles from last year, of course. Did one.
Yeah, definitely.
What we got here, we have now got, unlucky for some, number 13.
Number 13, which is Southgate.
Southgate.
Time for the guys at Southgate.
Now, I love playing at the Walker Ground, but if I draw Twickenham to go to Southgate on a Sunday, I might as well resign.
Popular, no? Like Gary Mabbott, we used to pull that Spurs to play Man City in the FA Cup.
Yeah. Right, let's have a look. It is going to be Southgate. We're playing number 3.
Crouch End. Sort of quite a local game.
Yeah,
pretty sure. That'd be quite a local sort of not too far a trail for the Crouch End boys.
I'm conscious that Twickenham and Teddy are boasting in this.
Probably get Teddington. No surprise. Yeah,
would be perfectly what you'd expect. Number 5.
Number 5, Finchley. Home time for Finchley. We had a good year last year. Manchester up in your Prem, which is a fantastic achievement.
Yeah.
And they'll be home this year to consolidate, I imagine. And also maybe get some cup glory at the same time.
I think it certainly was a good achievement, actually. I think they definitely fought impressively last season.
Yeah, everyone would have had them down as I did as well. I had them down to go down, so you know.
They'll be playing number 8.
Number 8, Hornsey. So another kind of local, not call it a derby, but fixture in terms of where both clubs are located.
4 teams left.
I mean, yeah.
Let's have a look here. Number 16.
That's your guy. So you've got home tie, Dan. You'll be pleased to hear.
Okay. Well, I guess that's something, yeah.
Yeah. Who's going to be coming to your place, then?
Well, I better really look away here. Got no idea. We will be playing. Let me just... Bags fall on the floor, sale, but only with two left in it, so it's not the end of the world. Number 4.
You're playing Ealing. Reigning champion for the last 2 seasons.
Well, I said Teddington wasn't a great option. I'm not sure that's much better.
Yeah, so can they make it 3 in a row? That's their challenge.
If anyone knows a future secretary of
Green and Temple, can they do it? Sorry?
Yeah, if anyone wants to take my place, then they'll have the chance to do that, I think. Cause I'm not sure
two you left out should be Teddington, Harrowton, just a matter of who's at home.
Yep. Good. We have got number 15.
That's Teddington. And Teddington. I assume if everything's correct, they would play Harrowton at home. But obviously, just to make sure.
Assumption is the mother of all cock-ups, so let's just go through it. There is one more left in here. It is number 23. No, number 7.
And that is Harrowtown. Yep, so well done, mate.
Okay.
Got it all correct.
The potential for disaster was great, but we managed somehow or other to avoid it. Do you want to draw out, Sal?
Agree about that, yeah. So first tie we had was North Middlesex Prem Fron, Prem clash, and we've got all Division 1 clash, and Acton playing North London. This probably tied around for me in terms of, actually, there's a couple here. Another Prem clash, Shepherd's Bush playing Stanmore, Richmond Harris at Mary's, Southgate Crouch End, Finchley Hornsey, Twickenham playing Ealing, and Tenenham playing Harrow Town. So
good stuff. Yeah, definitely lots of interest there. Now, at the end of this on the TV, they always tell you when you're going to play the ties. And I can do the same name, Sal. They've got to be completed by Sunday, the 9th of June. So if you can complete it before then all good. But there may well be other cup game getting in the way or other Sunday fixtures. But Sunday, the 9th of June, is the last Sunday that the league wants it played by. And note as well, the clubs that need to provide both a qualified umpire and a scorer. Now, Keir Hopley, Paul Smith will happily try and find umpires for you. If you give them a bit of notice, then they almost always can. But ringing them on Saturday night isn't a great idea. But they do want scorers as well. Because, of course, umpires and scorers basically work as teams, I always think so.
Yeah, 100%.
So clubs need to provide both. But if umpires are a challenge, then get in touch with Keir, get in touch with Paul, and they will see what they can do. Now, next up, I mean, we don't have to go into this in great detail because we've got plenty of time before we need to. But the league fixtures have been produced, right? They're produced in the first week of January. Then they were reproduced at the end of the first week in January because I'm not quite sure why, but there was clearly one or two things that weren't quite right, which I totally get, Sal. You know, there's a gazillion fixtures in this league now. So to have one or two that needed ironing out doesn't surprise me. But the final fixtures have been published. North London, where do you boys start? Are you at home or away?
So we start our campaign. Actually, interesting, they've got them in the cup and we're playing North Acton at home. So we've seen each other in the space of 6 weeks twice, I think, roughly. Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be dreaming about those guys before long, aren't you? Yeah.
Yeah, we're well acquainted, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so you guys start there. We play Wickham House. That is a local derby.
That's a good one, right? Yeah. So close, yeah, no, not too far to travel for that one, is it? For the Wickham
House. Yeah, we've got a few links to Wickham.
I know you're...
Yeah, we're away, and we're away at the end. I think that looks like it's a pattern. We finish also quite close to home. We're at Barnes, which one member of Barnes described it to me as the A316 derby, which is not a phrase I'd ever heard before. It's like the M23 derby, isn't it, between Palace and Brighton. But anyway, so we finish. And where do you guys finish? You're at home, I suppose, aren't you?
Because you're actually down, yeah.
Kenton, is it?
It might be correct. I didn't look that far ahead. I kind of was looking at the first sort of couple of weeks and see what's going on.
Yeah. The first couple of weeks. Sky Sports already been in touch, Sal.
Have they?
Yeah, they're going big. Week two. Okay. Yeah, full coverage of the game on the green when Twickenham meet North London. So that'll be an entertaining one. I'll definitely be down.
Sure, the stream will be going and then we'll be watching wherever we are. Absolutely. On the old Frog Box.
Totally. Now, we shouldn't go through the rest of the fixtures now because it's too far away.
Too many.
But were there any that caught your eye across the league?
In the Prem, we've got a great local derby to say with a fence from each other, Crouch End playing from North Middlesex. That's a real malfortune clash, you know, just down to locality. As I said, can't be many clubs sort of closer to each other in location-wise, and those two playing each other. Then in Interdivision One, as you mentioned, North London Acton, you guys are... I think your one's a good game. Travelling away to Wickham House is obviously another local derby, you might call
Absolutely.
It. And I can't remember the last time we did play each other in a competitive league game. Must be going back a few years now.
Yeah, we missed each other when we were going up and they were going down. So I'm really struggling. I remember playing them in cups before in a T20, but I mean, I'll have to really think about that one. Yeah.
So that's been a few years ago, isn't it? In terms of Division 2, looking here, Winchwell relegated. They've got a tough one first up, travelling away to Gymkhana, who narrowly missed out last season on promotion. So they'll be obviously hoping to try and make sure they're in that promotion spot this season. So that won't be easy for Wickham House. Division 3, you've got actually two clubs who almost got promotion last season, and they'll be hoping they're in the mix-up this year. AP take on Chiswick. And as we go into Division 4, it sort of goes into a bit of the unknown slightly.
I was getting ever vague when I looked down there. I'll have to do a little bit more research before I know about what's likely to happen there.
So there'll be some tasty fixtures down there. And I mean, Lanker Lions are always a side that was on our sort of radar last season. They're playing Kevin Chelsea first up. But yeah, I mean, just looking again at the fixtures, I mean, into Division 7, actually, I'm not sure. I've got a clue about either CM. Actually, there's no Division 7 picks at the moment. So maybe you're on to those. But
Division 7, there's not 10 teams. So I suspect they start a bit later. Yeah.
Okay. Makes sense. I mean, look, I'm going to Division 6. I said I washed my hands of them, but I still can't
help. I know where you're going. Go on, who the
I'm going, don't you, Dan? Everyone knows where I'm going. This one, Stallions. Says they're away to Regent's Park. I mean, I've just got to let go of them, Dan. I don't know. I might see someone about this and get some help. because
there's so many headlines there. The Stallions on the rampage in Regent's Park. I mean, it's just like it's a gift from heaven, that, isn't it?
We asked North London, you know, look at their fixtures next. Why am I doing that for? They've just got to me now. You know, they've hurt me so much. I want some support here in some way or another. But yeah, so yeah, as I said, yeah, really, really looking forward to season start. January's that kind of month for me where it's a bit like, you know, facing the newborn or really down horrible wicket in April. Just want to get through it. You know? And then once you've done that, things get a lot easier. So just get through January. We've had some miserable weather right lately, and even last 2-3 days wind wise. Then soon season will be upon us and we can look forward to sunnier days and nights in the clubhouse with your friends, having a good time and watching good cricket, playing good cricket and umpiring good cricket.
Well, you look for some signals, don't you? I went to pick up my boys from school and they went to an after school club and it was still light today. So it definitely wasn't still light at this time when I picked them up, whenever it was last week. So little things, days are getting longer, mate. Cricket's around the corner.
Yeah, we're in the new year, aren't we? Yeah. Now, talking about the weather, just before we finish off, some people who are linked to the league will be having much better weather in the next sort of few weeks' time. I don't know if people know the England over 40s side that's taking part in the World Cup in South Africa this year. And we've got some MCCL representation taking place in that. So Alan Jones, when we score, he does a lot of work in Middlesex. Fantastic guy. I think he does listen to the pod. I hope he listens to this one. So he's going to be scoring for the England team. So he'd have a nice little couple of weeks.
Sounds great.
Town. Yeah, from 17th of February to the 1st of March. I mean, I imagine the standard of cricket will be really good because you've got, I mean, England squad has got ex-pros in that side. You've got Darren Stevens playing, and we've got a couple of guys from and Ben Fraser, who's playing in the league, and now moved back to Harpenden. He's in the squad. So I imagine the quality of cricket out there will be really, really top cricket. All these guys who are picked will play pro cricket still. And I'm sure the other nations will have players who play at a regular level. So yeah, so good luck to Alan out there and the rest of the side as he heads out. Actually, the manager of this guy also called Chris Mays. We're going back a few years now. So those of yesteryear knowledge, I'm sure Jeff Blackmore will know him. Chris Mays played for Finchley Ospina, very good cricket back in his day when Finchley really won the forces in the Premier League cricket. He's the team manager. So Alan's scoring. And also at the moment, we've got the other end of our sort of
a spectrum.
Yeah, exactly. Good word, Dan. So Seb Morgan, Ealing under 9, Ealing player, played 1 and 2 last year just due to Middlesex commitments and school commitments. Had a fantastic debut against Stanmore. He's currently in South Africa at the moment with the England under 19 squad who are playing in the under 19 World Cup. I think he's only under 17 at the moment, which I'm pretty sure which is amazing from him playing 2 years below his actual 2 years up actually. And he played in the first game against Scotland, which they won. So, you know, I think the game's actually on Sky as well.
I was going to say, can we see any of this? We probably can, yeah, if we really have a look around.
I'm pretty sure Sky had some coverage on recently over the weekend. So, yeah, if it is on, then England are playing. Keep an eye on young Seb. Really, really highly rated talent. The Ealing guys really speak highly. I mean, Christian really rates him, and I can see why. Yeah, and also Middlesex, really think he's got a great sort of future if he keeps fit and healthy. Yeah, so he's one to look out for. So those two guys are definitely going to be having a good winter compared to the rest of us in terms of weather-wise.
They certainly won't be wearing 4 layers, will they? Huddled up in their living room trying to keep warm. Yeah.
They did look a bit weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, yeah, we'll follow their progress. Great stuff. Just thinking ahead, we've certainly got some plans between now and the end of April. We're looking to get some interesting guys to join us and the agendas won't give too much away now, Sal, but there's certainly a number
exciting
of people
times,
who folks would have heard of. And we're going to get them on board to hopefully liven up this cold, wet, wintry part of the year. More on that in due course. Sal, thanks very much for your time as ever. Go well, fingers crossed the Arsenal keep going forward, and I'll chat to you again soon.
Brilliant, Dan, top man, enjoy, take care.
Cheers, mate.
Bye-bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with 2 young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.